Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Going through fertility treatment at any time can be extremely difficult on a couple, but can you imagine during a pandemic and the additional layers of stress that that can add? Well, Claire and Barry are a couple from Dublin who join us here in Lunchtime Live today. Guys, first of all, thanks for contacting us and being with us on the show. Claire, I might begin with yourself first. At what point did you start experiencing fertility issues?
Yeah, sure, Andrea. Back in 2016, we had a number of months just trying ourselves and with no avail. So tried then just to go for initial tests, just some blood tests were run, and they discovered that I had an autoimmune hypothyroidism. So it just took a couple of months to rectify that. And then following on from that, then we just kind of said we'd run some tests as well with Barry, and just it came back then, unfortunately, that there was problems with his sperm concentration and morphology. So we're given roughly about a 5% chance of conceiving naturally, and we, you know, that was kind of very hard to take, obviously, at the time.
Yeah.
And with that as well, on top of that, they were saying, you know, sperm donor straight away. So that was kind of a real kick in the teeth with that. So they said that ICSI was kind of the area of IVF that was recommended option for us. So that was kind of the very first stage of our, you know, kind of our information gathered and, you know, what where we really were at that stage.
It's a lot to take in, Claire.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like when you're sitting there in the chair and, you know, that kind of news is relayed to you and your hopes and your dreams of having a family together. And, you know, we always said we always wanted kids, no matter what way they came to us, whether it was adoption, IVF, naturally, whatever. We're never under the illusion that, you know, we could have kids naturally, you know, without any help or whatever. But when you're told that kind of information and, you know, even if you could be slightly expecting it, you might not be expecting it, but it's hard to take.
Mm-hmm. Your partner, Barry, is with us here as well on Lunchtime Live. God, Barry, you know, when you get all of that information at that time and it's new to you, I'm sure it must have come as a shock to you, first of all.
Yeah, it's definitely a shock. I mean, you never think of these things. You know, you always assume that, you know what, there won't be a problem. And then, obviously, as Claire said, when 6 months go by and nothing's happening, and so you go for these tests and you're still assuming that, look, it's nothing. It could have something to do with the fact that we're in our 30s. It could be anything like that. And then to get told, first of all, that, okay, there's issues with the concentration and there's issues with the morphology. And then to get told that, basically, we don't recommend using your sperm. We recommend donor sperm before, like, anything was even attempted in terms of trying to boost or trying to help my sperm in a way. Just basically getting told, no, we can't. We don't recommend using your sperm. We recommend donor sperm. So that's, you know, that was very, very hard.
Very difficult,
for me personally.
Yeah,
taking,
yeah.
Not just like, you know, not just for my own ego to say, but obviously I always felt like I was letting Claire down. You know, by not being able to do what I meant to be doing. So it was hard to be told, you know what, we're not even going to try anything. We're just going to recommend donor sperm. So it was very hard, very, very hard to take, I have to say.
So when you got that news in 2016, and it is, as you said, Barry, for both of you, it's a lot to digest and to take in. When you did, I suppose, was there a long thinking process after that, or did you just decide, look, we've gone and sought this advice, we're going to take this advice and do what the experts are saying here?
No. See, we had done our research on clinics here, and we had gone and talked to other couples who had gone down the road, and they were saying, look abroad, they're doing better things abroad, blah, blah, blah. So we went, so we didn't take an issue. We went to our own GP, and then she said, look, let's try and see what we can do and get you in for neuro test. And I got put on supplements and vitamins, and I I got told to lose X amount of weight, and I went and I did it all, got tested. Now it improved, but not enough for the current clinic in Ireland we were tending to say, let's use yours. So again, that was it for us. We didn't accept it, to be honest, because if they were giving us a 5% chance of conceiving naturally, then there has to be a better chance in terms of conceiving with my sperm via IVF. So we started looking further afield for second and third opinions, and that's where our journey really began.
So tell us about that journey, Claire. Where did you go?
Yeah, so we had heard from friends and some family members who had very positive outcomes from Prague in particular. So we kind of just set our sights on Prague and looked at a few clinics there. And then really kind of from there, I was kind of more sold on it initially than Barry was, just from like logistics to, you know, just the unfamiliar territory of going abroad and not knowing, you know, where you're going, what the clinic's like, the language barrier and such. So it took a little bit of coaxing, definitely on my part. And, you know, just we just then decided together then as a couple that, yeah, we'd go abroad. And it was just...
IVF now? This was for an initial...
Yeah, this is... Yeah. Yeah, so the initial consultation took place like on Zoom. So even, you know, that was kind of, you know, just trying to get your questions out and have your facts there in front of you, what you had read already and what they were willing to bring to the place in terms of treatment. And then, you know, there was an option there that you could have a coordinator, kind of an Irish coordinator, that would look after kind of things from scans to kind of correspondence to Prague. But unfortunately, the waiting time at that time, I think, was about 3 months or something for that.
And when was this, Claire?
This was back, what was it, Barry, you'd know.
It was towards the end of 2016, 2017.
Okay. Yeah. So it was just that kind of waiting time for an Irish, a coordinator. It was just too long on top of the time that we'd waited up to that point. So we said to them, you know, can we just proceed? And I know a friend and a family member that had gone without that kind of Irish connection there. So they said, you know, there's no point in waiting kind of thing, that you know, and proceed kind of with that. So which we did. And you get assigned what's called your coordinator then. That's basically like a translator. They've no medical background, but it's just your go-between. So you can just correspond just through emails. There is no kind of phone conversations.
It must have been very, very stressful, Claire.
Very stressful. Yeah, it was kind of just, you just accepted at the time as being the norm. But as you know, I suppose we were the unlucky, couple that unfortunately this kind of carried on over such a long period of time. Like we're talking 2.5 years of this kind of correspondence
and during that time, had you any is success or luck? Is that the right word to use?
Yeah, no, well, like initially, I suppose when we did go over for our egg collection, we were very lucky to get a collection of 5 embryos and 5 blastocysts, so day 5 blastocysts. And like at the time, they, you know, had said to us that these were extremely high quality and basically they were grading them amongst themselves, which we later found out that, you know, that's not how you grade eggs. And you were given that false illusion that basically, you know, these would be transferred and there'd be kind of literally, you know, such great hope for them to thrive and to become a baby then, a future baby for us. So we'd kind of almost anticipate, okay, well, what route would we go down next? And, you know, things we'd read up on.
It must have taken a huge toll, Barry. I mean, on you both emotionally and physically and financially. This whole process.
Yeah, I mean the financial end. Yeah, fair enough. Money is money. It was what it took out of us personally is what we found the hardest. After every single one, we were exhausted, and I mean not just in terms of physically exhausted, mentally and emotionally also. Like we had to the the whole process for every collection, every transfer was last minute flights. You know, okay, go get your day 10 scan here, and yeah, everything's fine. Get on a flight, get over here tomorrow.
And were you both working here, Barry, at the time, in the middle?
Yeah,
of
we were. Yeah, we were. We were both working, and you know, thankfully, we're both in jobs where they understood that the circumstances were very accommodating, and there was no problems there. But it was exhausting. But what the hardest part was, just what Claire said, was the post cycle, the whole you know. Oh, well, we don't know. We think it should just put it down to nature. And then the circus they sent us through between every cycle. Let's get your blood test. Let's get this test. Let's get that done. Let's get this done. And most of the times they wouldn't let us do it here. We had to fly over there to get it done because they were saying that the readings here were different to what they had over there. It was just that kind of rigmarole. Nothing in the whole journey was easy.
No. So when you finished the cycles that you were doing through Prague, where were you at then? What happened then?
So I think it was November, December last year. We had our final transfer. And I said to Claire, I just can't do it anymore. I just physically can't do it anymore. We were both drained and broken. Fourth failure, all our embryos were gone. We had known in our gut probably after the second one that we had made a mistake. But we were kind of caught in that kind of no man's land where they have all our information and our medical records, and we also have two embryos left. Because we were kind of caught in that no man's land. So we foolishly, instead of listening to our gut and just calling it a day, we finished out the following two cycles, and it got to like the Christmas last year. Said, look, we can't do it anymore. And Claire kind of calmed me down and said, look, let's just forget about it now. Let's enjoy our Christmas and let's reconvene in the new year.
As Barry was saying there, so we kind of reconvened in last December. Really was the hard, you know, the last embryo, and you know, our kind of we had exhausted that route. We didn't know really what was next, and we just said, okay, right, we'll reconvene in the new year. So this time last year, we were kind of just, okay, what are we going to do here? So we had kind of when we went to Waterstones then in January, it was really kind of just end for initial consultation. And from the get-go, really, it was just their, like, Dr. Waterstone himself, who's just extremely frank and honest. Anyone who knows him, they'll say the same about him. And just from the very beginning, it was just really what we had all the time sought for throughout our journey. It was just to be told real, you know, the reality of things, and not to be, you know, leading us down some kind of path that wasn't really honest at all.
So where are you at now, Claire?
So we're currently six months pregnant. And,
oh, congratulations.
So sorry, we should have mentioned that at the beginning. So it's not all sad.
Oh,
So we're delighted. Like, we were very lucky, like, with our collection that we did back in, when was it? It was June, I think. And we managed to collect 11 embryos this time. So we have a whole football team nearly of embryos. And so we're delighted. And it was literally the first with COVID, we had met back in January with Dr. Waterstone and colleagues. And then with COVID, kind of the uncertainty of COVID and the effects on the unborn child and the mother, all treatments were halted. But we were able to proceed then in June then with the collection, and then we had to wait then just to let my system kind of calm itself then and go for a transfer in August. So it was the very first transfer, and like, we were just so elated and still are, like, we're just so feeling so blessed and really just appreciative of
Brilliant.
What's happening.
Just in a final word, Barry, looking back on the journey, I mean, having been in Ireland, gone abroad, come back to Ireland, and now 6 months pregnant, how would you describe it in a sentence?
Exhausting, but we had a happy ending.
Just if anybody is just looking for really just impartial and empowering knowledge shared on social media, is if you follow the Fertility Hack on Instagram, it's just really just empowering knowledge just to help you decipher through all this minefield of information.
Claire and Barry, thanks so much for your time, and congratulations to you both again.
Okay.
Yeah, look, great news there for Claire and Barry, and delighted to be able to speak to them here both on News Talk this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth and truly delicious chocolate experience.